Fond farewells in the news quiz next, but first, good afternoon to Jonathan Dimbleby.
In Any Questions Today, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Peter Hayne, Ian Paisley Jr. for the DUP, Pat Doherty for Sinn Féin, and Anne Atkins, agony aunt for herself. The issue's up for sharp, tough, but I think you'll find genuinely illuminating debate. IRA weapons, power sharing, and the question of trust. They also discuss the closure of the accident and emergency service at the local hospital, and Tony Blair's retirement. If he's on the dole, what job should he be given? That's Any Questions from OMA, followed by Any Answers from wherever you are. All starting straight after the 1 o'clock news.
Now, the last in the current series of the news quiz, which is notable not only because of the fruity language, but also because it's Simon Hoggart's last show as chairman.
We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to my last news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Sussex Express, read by Harriet Cowes.
Glamorous TV weather girl Caddy Lee Preston will open Hailsham Leisure Centre after a £1 million facelift.
Oh, thanks to John Glover for sending that in. Let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right Andy Hamilton and Fee Glover. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toxby. Andy, who admitted he isn't quite down and out, down under.
Oh, well, this is Tony Blair in Australia. Actually, I've noticed a bit of a pattern about Blair's itinerary. I don't know if you noticed, but every time that the criticism really builds up and all the groundswell of opinion grows that he really should step down, he goes abroad and leaves John Prescott in charge, haven't he? Just to kind of terrify us with the alternative. And then there's such a wave of relief when Blair comes back. But this week he's over in Australia and I think in Indonesia, and because it's a difficult time for Blair. He's under a lot of pressure, and now the police have started investigating all these men who are wandering around, proud possessors of peerages that fell off the back of a government. And and he said that it was a mistake to have told us he was going to step down. And I think he's right. He should have kept it as a lovely surprise. Sort of gift for the nation. And that led to all sorts of speculation about when he actually will step down. And apparently he has now reached a kind of reciprocal understanding with Gordon Brown. A kind of, you scratch my back, I'll stab yours arrangement. And it looks like he's going to step down when the NHS is in good working order, he said. So that's about 2048.
I was looking, actually, the current price, apparently, to get a peerage is £2.6 million, unless you're a Liberal Democrat. And then it's £5.50 and a postal voucher will be this. Not a problem.
I don't know why they just don't go the whole hog and put them on eBay.
During his visit to Australia this week, Tony Blair admitted his decision to announce his intention to resign had been an error. He says he'd decided when to go, but he's not told even his closest friends, possibly because he hasn't got any left. 2 points to Andy. Fee, welcome back. Who's decided to sort the vermin from the ermine?
Well, it's got to still be the loans.
It has?
But I think Scotland Yard. Is it Scotland Yard who's going to be calling the Tories? Yeah. Your calls may be recorded. Press 1 for controversy. Press 2 if you've just seen an innocent man being shot dead in a tube station. Press 3 if you're also called Blair. And it's the Tory party, isn't it, this week, who are going to be called by Scotland Yard, because they may have broken a 1925 law about buying peerages. So
brackets abuses, isn't it?
Yep.
The buying of honours, brackets, abuses.
Yeah. I like brackets. It makes things really, really clear, doesn't it, if things are in brackets? I was giving a talk, oddly enough, to the Department of Education in Darlington. I lead a fantastically exciting show business life. And I was reading all the notices, and there was a notice for fire, and I'm obsessed with reading things like that, and it said, in case of fire, alert staff. And it said in brackets, shout fire. You know where you are then, don't you?
I can't be alone, because I really am. I'm being unsettled by the fact that it's actually the police who are going to investigate corruption in the Tory party. And then presumably there will be a Hutton inquiry to investigate whether the police are corrupt enough to know enough about corruption to investigate the Tory Party.
Alan, there, corruption in the Tory Party, and it's actually corruption in the Labour Party, and it makes me realise it makes no blinking difference, does it? It's the same.
I thought they were going to start with the Tory Party to get their eye in.
Oh, were they?
The Tory Party has loaned or given more. It's 20 million. The Labour Party's only 40 million. They're lagging behind. It's all gone into Prescott's elocution lessons, I think.
That was scary, actually, to read in the papers this week. It said, technically, John Prescott has been in charge this week. You just think, what's the word technically there for? Maybe like they haven't told him.
But it's a wonderful... Presumably, they still have these red boxes that allow the world's greatest thermonuclear murderers to communicate. So it means that Bush has been ringing Prescott. There is a conversation. There won't be three words in any known language.
The Metropolitan Police says it's continued to receive a number of allegations that the 1925 law banning the sale of peerages has been broken. Mr. Blair doesn't like people in another house telling him what to do, unless that house is white. Sandy, who hopes to move the peace process forward unilaterally.
Oh, everybody. Surely we're all in favour of that.
2 points. Good.
Thank you.
Move on to Alan.
I think we're thinking the big brick wall here, the West Bank.
Mr. Kadima.
Mr. Kadima.
No, I know he's not. But wasn't there a coffee house called the Kadima Coffee House?
Cardoma.
Oh, anyway. yes, there's been an election in Israel and somebody's won, and it's going to make no difference whatsoever. And the Kadima Party, of course, very sadly, led by a man in a coma. And what's nice is it's one of the few political parties to admit that. Palestine's got a new government and they don't want to talk to him and he doesn't want to talk to Palestine and it's all going to be exactly like it was before.
Exactly.
I thought he was a bit more moderate though. I thought he was better than that guy Netanyahu, which is 31 points in Scrabble, I think. Netanyahu was definitely never going to talk to the Palestinians, and I think, doesn't this guy say that he might exchange letters with them at Christmas? And
possibly. I think Christmas would not be the optimum time.
No.
Do you know, I always wanted to open a delicatessen in Israel and call it Cheeses of Nazareth. Do you not think it would be... That's the sort of joke the House of Lords tried to ban, you see.
The Israeli election was won by Kadima, which means forward. They plan to withdraw settlers from the West Bank and define Israel's final borders by 2010. There was a very poor turnout in the election because it coincided with National Take a Palestinian to Work Day. 2 points to Sandy. Sandy, you're going to be the chairman. You can give points galore.
I am hoping that everybody's going to behave themselves very well.
Well, I get enormous cash bribes.
I mean...
Loans. Alan, listen to this. Alan, why have the labouring classes over here failed to make as much of a hue and cry as their Parisian cousins?
There are two sets of strikes we have to compare. There's the wonderful French strike, which is difficult to understand, even for Prescott. Students are going to be required to take jobs only after they've given an undertaking they can be sacked the same afternoon. So they've torn up the pavements and thrown them at the police.
Didn't the French strike for 35 hours with a 2-hour lunch break, wasn't that?
Followed by a nap.
In England, it was a civil servant strike. I phoned the planning department of Camden Council. I can't bore you with this because it's taken 4 days anyway. The bloke next door wants to change his window. And there are 134 people at Camden Council working on this. And it's like the Bayeux tapestry. Anyway, they weren't there. All they kept on was the multicultural and multi-ethnic choice of music. If you phone Camden, so as not to offend anybody, before you get through to anything, and it's not usually human, you have to listen to a lot of Greek music, some Israeli music, a lot of Indian music, Chinese. They have countries that didn't even know they had music. And then you eventually get through and they say, he's not here, there is a strike. And I said, but Camden wasn't supposed to be involved in the strike. Some of us have taken our own initiative, he said.
There were strikes on both sides of the Channel this week as council workers in Britain protested plans to scrap retirement age at 60, while in France millions took to the streets to protest at the proposed labour reforms. Government intends to abolish the 85-year rule here, which allows council workers to retire early if their combined age and length of service add up to 85, and replace it with a new 85-year rule, which means you can only retire if one of your children has reached the age of 85. At the end of round one, the scores are Alan and Sandy 4, but thanks to my unique scoring system, Andy and Fee have taken the lead with 5 points. We start round two with an item from the Ernst & Young budget summary.
A 5% VAT rate will be introduced for sales of all contraceptive products. The pharmaceutical industry will be pleased to see that its lobbying has been rubber-stamped.
Thanks to the many listeners who sent that in. Andy, where was there no smoke without ire this week?
This is Scotland.
Yes.
Now, the way the law has changed this week, and now if a Scotsman is in a pub and he wants to have a smoke, he has to go outside to Berwick. Streets of Berwick, just the fog. You can't walk there. You can't see your hand in front of your face. Yeah, it's the new smoking ban in Scotland, which presumably is the precursor of the... We'll have the same ban here, and I don't know...
But even with the Scottish ban, there are two places that are exempt, and they're submarines and oil rigs.
Submarines.
Oil rigs.
Yeah, but submarines, I mean, the non-smokers' options are limited on a submarine. Do you know, it's a bit foggy in here. Smoke. I think I'll just step outside. I mean, that is bizarre. But isn't the argument that they're, because they're very stressed, the smokers can't go outside in the submarine. So.
Yeah, but yes, the non-smokers can't exactly open the window, no. Can they?
Why are they stressed? I mean, there's a moment, if it means stress, there's a moment on any submarine where the captain lights up and you know you're in trouble.
And you can see the submarine by the little puffs of smoke.
Scotland has become the first place in the UK to introduce a smoking ban in public places. House of Lords believes the smoking ban should be instigated in England and Wales sooner rather than later, said Lord Nicorette. Fee, which teenage tantrum caused disorder in court?
Oh, this is the fantastic Leanne, isn't it? Mm. I can't remember her surname. I doubt whether she can remember it either. She was in court on her second offence of drunk driving. I think, isn't she only 14?
She is, yes.
She's 14 years old. I blame the parents, and I'm entitled to say that, because her mum turned up at court. Her mum turned up at court, and I think... So do you have a beep ready? Because I want to say a rude word here.
Yeah. Just say f*** very loud, and they'll notice, okay. They'll notice it when they come to the end, don't they?
Leanne, when she was arrested, just said... off. Her mother said exactly the same thing when they turned up at court, and she then exposed her buttocks to waiting photographers and said, film this if you want to. Now, that's not really the kind of parental discipline that you're looking for. Leanne went absolutely bonkers in court, and hadn't she just said in her court case that she had her anger management under control? And the judge then said, well, you know, you're banged up, missy, and she just absolutely tore the whole magistrate's court to pieces.
You have to wonder what they had suggested on the anger management course, because she took with her to court a box of eggs.
She did.
I don't know if they said, you know, if you're getting a little stressed, Leanne, a quick souffle.
Fourteen-year-old Leanne Black, Britain's youngest drink driver, showed what a reformed character she was at her court hearing by punching the prosecutor, throwing a jug of water at magistrates, hurling abuse at officials and knocking over furniture. Leanne is by no means the worst offender of her age. Last year, two 13-year-olds went on a rampage through Birmingham, smashing street sculptures and causing thousands of pounds of improvements. Sending this young girl away is a tragic, tragic thing, said the owner of the local off-licence. Sandy, what flagship award has been pirated by penny-pinching parents?
Sorry, darling, I was so busy listening to Alan, who is gripping, that I missed the question.
That's what depends on what I'm gripping.
I've known you a long time, you can grip what you like. Right.
Do you two want a room somewhere? Is that... Are we getting in the way here?
Do you know, we are like an old married couple, because... Yeah.
We have no sex.
We have no sex.
it's pretty different when you're in this seat. You know, you won't be able, you won't be able to grope him unless you have him keeping score.
Are you giving a secret away from your tenure? I'm sorry, darling.
Sandy, what flagship award has been pirated by penny-pinching parents?
Oh, this is the Blue Peter thing, isn't
it? It is.
Yes, this is the Blue Peter badge. I didn't even know you could get in free with a Blue Peter badge. What a marvellous thing. You can get into Madame Tussauds and see Prince Harry now. Except you can't. They've stopped it. They've now withdrawn it, I think. You can't get in free anywhere with a Blue Peter badge. I think that's the... Apart from the House of Lords, if you have a Blue Peter badge, you can get a peerage straight away, I think.
A Blue Peter badge is probably worth more than a peerage, isn't it?
I was slightly appalled to notice in the paper it describes the Blue Peter badge, the modern one, as made of rubber. Which makes it sound like a safe sex device as well. Free entry, but you'll be protected.
Terribly ageing. To be too old ever to have gummed two bog rolls together and stuck some milk bottle lids inside them. My generation took down railings and made spitfires out of them. Why they never got off the ground, I don't know. But had we made them out of cardboard and sticky back tape, the war could have been shortened by about 3 years.
But Germany would have won. Blue Peter badge wearers can no longer gain free entry to tourist attractions after a brisk trade in badges, some fake, was discovered on eBay. The Blue Peter badge used to be the ultimate must-have status symbol for British children until it was replaced by the ASBO. Alan, whose green ambitions have left a lot of red faces?
This is Margaret Beckett.
Yes.
The word face and Margaret Beckett have given me a bit of a shaking. I'll have to stop for a minute. Take my breath. Margaret has pledged herself with some of her chums to reduce greenhouse gases, probably by changing their diet. I'm not sure. And we haven't signed up to Kyoto. She now says the Kyoto agreement is unfeasible, especially as China and India won't sign up to it, and America, which creates 99% of the world's and nastiness in every sense, is not signing up either. So we've changed our stance, really.
She needs to stop using the hairspray, and that would actually cure global warming. Her hair does
not move. She has to use the hairspray.
It hasn't moved for 20 years. It's absolutely static.
I also thought she hadn't really thought it through, because one of the expressions she used was that we need to water down the Kyoto Agreement. Well, with the hosepipe ban in the offing... I thought this was bad, and then I thought, well, actually, if the whole ice cap melts, there'll be plenty of water. So if the whole ice cap melts, then we can water down the Kyoto Agreement. We'll be okay.
It's a good plan.
It's a cyclical
thing. You should
put
it forward.
I know. I don't know why I'm not in charge.
But what Blair is saying now is that actually trying to cap emissions isn't the answer. The answer is developing technologies. But what are they?
Burying carbon dioxide. As an expert in this, I can tell you what you do. You burn coal and then catch the carbon dioxide that's coming out of it. You run outside and you bury it in the garden. You have a deep hole in the garden which buries the carbon dioxide you use to keep the house warm.
You were on hold a very long time at Camden Council.
Margaret Beckett this week confirmed that the government will reach its target for cutting CO2 by 2010, but only by slashing that target from 20 to 15%. Government sources tried to pin the blame for the rise in CO2 emissions on the British people, who, they claim, wasted electricity on things like keeping TVs on standby, leaving lights switched on in empty rooms, and watching Deal or No Deal.
How is it not gambling? Because there's a law against having gambling on television.
Because it's against
skills.
What's the skill?
It's skill.
Not hitting Noel Edmonds. The scores at the end of round two. Alan and Sandy have 8 points. Andy and Fee are just in the lead with 9. Before we start round three, here's an item from the Leadership Journal newsletter.
The joy of preaching sex. For better intimacy at home, we need more sex in the pulpit.
Thanks to John Mullett for emailing that in. Andy, why do school kids agree with Roland Barthes about the importance of the text?
Given this is the last show, why are we having to work so hard? Normally we just bring in games. The importance of text...
It's about cheating, isn't it? It's about taking your phones in. It's not an indictment of kids and their morality. It's an indictment of an education system which makes it possible to answer an A-level question with the four words on your screen. I mean, that's what's bad. Cheating is 27% up, which is sort of keeping pace with anything else in the adult world, and thieving, cheating, generally conniving, corruption, the rottenness these kids are going to have to train themselves for. They're falling behind a bit. I'd like to have seen about 50% up, or none of them will know how to run a government or a major corporation by the time they get...
Isn't it a bit of a giveaway if you see an exam paper and the kids answered it with an essay with no vowels in it?
Himlet did at end. Do you remember that, when that was clever? Do you remember those adverts for speed writing, when that was thought to be very clever? If you can read this, you too can get a good job. Do you remember those?
Cheating students are increasingly turning to mobile phones to help them get through their exams. The Qualifications and Curriculum Authority has blamed a 27% increase in cheating on the greater use of handheld technology. The Department of Education said, "We expect schools to maintain high standards. There is no place for mobile phones in the classroom," which is a little harsh. How else is the average 14-year-old expected to keep up with their kids during the day? Fee, listen to this. Do you need a question? You went...
No, it's good. I gave her a quote for some double glazing. Well, you know, no, we don't get a lot on this show. I take what opportunities come up. I've kitted out half of Jeremy Hardy's house, just sliding him little notes across while they play the music clues.
Yeah, it's a bit high for the French windows, but I'll take it for the sash. Sorry, Simon.
Fee, why isn't Apple the apple of Apple Corps Eye?
This is about who owns the Apple logo, isn't it? And I found this slightly confusing, and maybe it's just because I've just had a baby and have no brain left, but it goes something like this, that the Beatles originally chose Apple for Apple Records, which is an Apple that had no bite taken out of it. Steve Jobs, who set up Apple, decided that he liked Apple, so he chose Apple as a logo, and it was an Apple that had a bite out of it. And now they're all fighting over whether or not Apple represents the Beatles or Apple represents iPods. Is that, that's about the strength
exactly
of it.
Right.
And they promised, they made a promise, which I thought was rather sweet in business law. Apparently, Apple, the computers firm, promised that they'd never move into music.
But know? They're saying that the stuff that they're transmitting through the iTunes things is not music, and I would agree with them. It's data, apparently.
But it's somewhat patronising, because I don't think when I pick up an iPod, I think, oh, that's been made by Sir Paul McCartney when he's, you know, in between vegetarian pies. I think I can tell the difference in the same way that I don't walk into an Oasis clothing store on the high street and expect to buy some small, scowling, Mancunian, simian guitarist in a size 14. So I don't really understand how the case is going to succeed.
It's the high court battle between the Beatles and Apple computers over the latest use of the Apple logo for its iTunes music download software. Asked whether they were behind the Apple Corps claim, the surviving Beatles and Beatle heirs nodded in unison, with Ringo just half a beat behind. Sandy, why have the boys in blue been told to get their skates off?
Oh, this is a marvellous story, and I like this one very much. It was conceived as a fantastic notion that the police in our royal parks would be much better equipped at catching ne'er-do-wells if they wore what's now known as an inline skate. And so they put these particular skates on, and the crooks, who are just naughty, instead of sticking to the paths, ran across the grass. And all the police stood on the paths going, "Oh, how annoying." Apparently, inline skates don't work on grass. So they've had to go back to bicycles.
Exactly. Royal Parks Constabulary has given up its cunning ways of equipping police with inline skates after the miscreants they were chasing found the perfect getaway method was running away on grass. I think it's wrong to abandon the skates simply because they didn't work on grass. Neither did Tim Henman, and we stuck with him for years. Alan, your last question. Whose attempt to enjoy the Londonderry air ended in a flight of fancy?
Yes, this was extremely unfortunate. there is a disused airport called Shackleton Field, but it's used again now because a Ryanair plane landed there by mistake. This is an Irish flying joke and so fraught with political ineptitude that I can hardly move. And it landed at this army base. And soldiers came out and got on the plane and said hello. But anyway, they were 5 miles from the proper airport, which is Londonderry. Why anyone wants to fly to Londonderry anyway, I don't know. I mean, I'd rather go and have a holiday in Shackleton.
It's very tricky, isn't it, when something fits into, you know, what has been a kind of an archetypal joke stereotype. It's awful. And this was one of those stories. And I was in Dublin recently. And I saw a very helpful sign that said, for those people unused to escalators, please use the stairs. And the only problem was that the sign was affixed to the top of the escalator. And I actually fell off the top because I was reading the notice.
It's Ryanair Flight 9884 from Liverpool to Londonderry, which ended up landing on a military airbase after the pilot mistook the airstrip for the city of Derry Airport. Passengers looked out through their windows to see a barren airstrip patrolled by heavily armed men in uniform and assumed they'd landed at Heathrow. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from Mark Droggin. And it's a response in the advice column to a motorist question of whether cars, pedestrians or cyclists have the right of way. Having the right of way does not mean that cyclists are not subject to traffic laws. They are, and so are pedestrians. In those states where bicycles have the right of way at intersections, it simply means you allow the cyclist to cross the street before you enter the intersection and plough into him.
This is from the Church Times last week. A vicar announced to his congregation that he was leaving the parish, not because I'm in a dispute with the wardens or at loggerheads with the organist, far from it. I'm going because Jesus called me here, and he's now calling me somewhere else. As he sat down, the curate announced the final hymn, which was sung with extraordinary gusto. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Sandy.
This has been sent in by Mary Hall. It's from The Independent. A hairdresser in Hungary is doing his bit to reaffirm the macho toughness traditionally associated with his profession. Eschewing all modern associations of effete posturing and primping, Szabolcs Bodnár of Budapest has dropped the usual scissors, comb and hairdryer routine. Instead, he cuts hair using a chopping board and a full-size axe. Styles it with a vacuum cleaner and straightens it with an old-fashioned flat iron. People never fall asleep while I'm cutting their hair. He told the papers, perhaps unnecessarily.
Alan.
Well, mine, Simon, is from the Winchester and Midhants Chronicle, and it runs, retired circus performer John Fowler, who supplements his pension by working as a contortionist at private parties and commercial functions, has had to change his stage name after the organisers of Fordingbridge County Fair deemed it to be unsuitable for family entertainment. He will now appear as Plastic Man, not Rubber Johnny.
Let's take a look at the final scores, which are Andy and Fee, 16 points with Alan and Sandy, just this week's winners with 17. Before we leave you, here's an item for auction from the Express and Echo.
Much-loved, priceless, antique news quiz chair, slightly distressed after 10 years' hard service, will be sorely missed, must go to Good Home.
Oh.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Pete Glover, Sandy Topsvig and Alan Fine. And the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Simon Littlefield and Lucy Clark. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell. The chairman was Simon Hoggart.
The news quiz is back in September, and if you were paying close attention, you'll have gathered that Sandy Topsvig will be taking over the chair. The Now show's back at the same time next week. Over at the Weather Centre, Rob McElwee.
Thanks, Caroline. Good afternoon. Well, it's April the 1st, but it's gone midday. So when I mention that there'll be snow in the forecast this coming week, I am telling the truth. But not yet. The cold air is still around, confined to the far north of Scotland and the Northern Isles, where an easterly near gale and 5 degrees should remind you of what we've mostly got rid of. Still, the forecast for the south is a little better. Let me take England and Wales and Northern Ireland as a whole. The breezes are southwesterly. The temperature's typically 10 to 12 degrees. We can add one more before the afternoon is out, and there's plenty of sunshine. But there are bands of fairly heavy showers. In fact, almost persistent rain at the moment in the northeast of England, though it's on its way out. And a band of showers has shown some thunder. It's now curling into the south of Cumbria and running off across the Pennines, tailing off somewhere in Cheshire, so it's on its way to the eastern side of the Pennines. Haven't seen any thunder recently in that. Otherwise, the showers are very, very well scattered, a few in the west of Northern Ireland, but I think we should get away with a mostly sunny afternoon. And of course, the temperatures I've mentioned